Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to part two of the interview with Dr. Sofia Pineda Ochoa via Skype in Guadalajara, Mexico. Sofia Pineda Ochoa is a practicing physician in Houston, Texas. Originally from Guadalajara, Mexico, Sofia completed medical school at Universidad de Guadalajara. Prior to relocating to the United States, she practiced at the emergency department of the Guadalajara County Hospital. Sofia completed her postgraduate medical training at the University of Tennessee, Le Bonheur Children's Medical Center in Memphis, and at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. She is also a former biochemistry professor at the University of Guadalajara's School of Medicine and School of Nursing, and is a member of the American Medical Association, as well as a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology. In 2015, she co-founded Meet Your Future, seeking to make health-related nutritional information more accessible to the general public. She is also committed to raising awareness about the environment and ethical consequences of consuming animal products. Dr. Pineda, thank you so much for joining us again on Vegan Nation.
And thank you so much for having me here.
I really enjoyed our last conversation, and I'd love to hear how your vacation is in Mexico.
Oh, it's going wonderful. Visiting family and everything's going fantastic. You know, I was very, very exhausted, so everything is going well here.
Any news from the vegan revolution in Mexico?
I usually meet up with a friend here whose name is Dulce Ramirez. And actually, I'm going to be meeting up with her this weekend. And she's the one who gives me the news because she's a very intelligent and nice woman who's the Mexican director of Igualdad Animal, which is like a Spain originated, an animal rights organization that was originally from Spain and now I think they're in 8 countries. So she's a Mexican director, and she lives here in Guadalajara. So she usually gives me all of the, you know, most recent events and what they're working on and what's new. So I haven't yet talked to her, but I did go to eat at an all-vegan restaurant here in Guadalajara, which is actually delicious. It's called Lucuma. And there was a line to get into the restaurant, which is encouraging. You know, when I left Mexico, I was not vegan at the time. I don't think I was even familiar with the word vegan. So I don't know if the fact is that I wasn't really attuned to what vegan options there were here, or there were just none, because I don't remember seeing anything when I left Mexico some 7 years ago. But I see some vegan options at restaurants. I see this restaurant, which is completely vegan. And then I see, you know, my friend here, Dulce, who's the director of Animal Equality. I think that they have a strong presence here. Well, you know, in conjunction with many other animal rights organizations, I think they banned the animal use in circuses back last summer. So I think Mexico, as a country, doesn't allow circuses with animals. That's my understanding, that happened back in last summer, July 2015. So I guess that's very encouraging, very positive things going on all around the world, including Mexico.
Wonderful. Dr. Pineda, can you give any advice about veganism in relation to diabetes?
Well, for sure. Well, we've seen that following what we call the plant-based vegan diet has been associated with decreasing insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is what starts type 2 diabetes. So that's the type 2 diabetes, that's the one that you see that most people have, the one where it starts more in adulthood and they're overweight. In that regard, I think that it's very favorable with regards to health, specifically with type 2 diabetes. With regards to type 1 diabetes, which is the one that's also has been called the juvenile diabetes, where usually young kids all of a sudden develop an autoimmune reaction to their pancreas, and they attack the cells that destroy the insulin. We've actually seen, very interestingly, we've seen a lot of studies that associate a higher incidence of type 1 diabetes with dairy consumption. So in that regard, for that other type of diabetes, I think that a plant-based vegan diet is also helpful with regards to prevention. Now that one, once it happens, it's usually kind of irreversible, because when your immune system already destroyed those cells of your pancreas. So it's something that I think mothers should be very cognizant of, that very concerning association, so they do not feed their children cow's milk, animal's milk. So that's something that I think is very important. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of women think that it's very healthy to give their kids cow's milk, when in reality, not only is it unhealthy from that perspective for the increased risk of autoimmune diseases, including diabetes and including others like multiple sclerosis, but it also has a very high content of hormones, which causes problems even for prepubertal kids, brings them sometimes puberty quicker than they should. And it's also associated with hormonal-related cancers and with many other issues from a health perspective. But in regards to your question, I think both for type 1 diabetes prevention and for type 2 diabetes, when it's already happening, plant-based vegan diets, I think, would be very beneficial in both situations.
Thank you. And Dr. Pinetta, during our last conversation, there was a couple of things that you said that I've been thinking a lot about, and it's really helped me, and I think it's very uplifting. And one of them is that your use of the word vegan, and I think that's so powerful, and coming from you, a very well-respected physician and vegan activist, because so many groups are still avoiding that word and calling an event a vegetarian event when it's actually a vegan event. And from what I learned from you, the dairy and egg industry has just as much of a detrimental effect on the environment and human health and animal suffering and pain and terror as all the other flesh industries.
Most definitely. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, eggs and dairy products, they are not only unnecessary for our health, but exactly the opposite. They are quite problematic for many, many aspects, from their cholesterol and saturated fat content to their animal protein composition of amino acids, which increases our IGF-1 hormone. So it's very problematic from a health standpoint. It's very also problematic from an ethical standpoint, even though it does not seem as clear, because it's not the actual flesh of an animal that we're consuming. So we might tend to think that it's a harmless food from an ethical perspective, because the animal, in our mind, we can tell ourselves that it didn't have to be sacrificed for us to have those kinds of byproducts. But as a matter of fact, they involve just as much as suffering and just as much as environmental footprint for their production, particularly dairy, because, as I mentioned, the dairy cows produce milk when they are pregnant. So they have to be continuously impregnated to be producing milk for our consumption. And the byproduct is their baby calf. And so that's what supports the veal industry. And this is something that brings a great deal of pain for the mother and for the calf that ends up being discarded, that ends up being used as veal, that ends up ending a very short life in confined facilities if they're going to be sold as veal. But there's really just no ethical way, when you come to think about it, to consume animal products for human use, because every time we try to do that, it becomes a bad situation for the animal. We just can't do that, and it's also, from a health perspective, like I mentioned, not only unnecessary, but also highly, highly problematic for our health. So we just need to stay all together away from those products. Away from those products, and we need to shift to a plant-based vegan diet.
Thank you. And the other thing that you had said, that I see a relationship on the larger scale and how you give very important warnings that we really need to make a drastic change and do so today, is that you were talking about taking the brick out of the wall.
Yes, definitely. And I use that analogy. Some researchers from many Ivy League schools, Princeton, Stanford, I think Cornell, and several others, published a very important article last year about how we were facing the sixth mass extinction in Earth's history. Right now, they said the last extinction event was some 65 million years ago, with when the dinosaurs died out. They said the rate at which animals are now dying, we can confidently conclude that we are in a sixth mass extinction event. And one of the researchers in that study, I thought it was interesting, the commentary that he said, and he used that exact analogy. He said, you know, because it's so unprecedented, what we're going through right now, it's something which we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. But the fact is that we live in a very complex ecosystem where animals perform a wide variety, and plants and animals perform a wide variety of functions, and they all have a role. And he used that, and I thought it was very graphic, and it kind of painted a good picture. He said, our ecosystem is like a brick wall. You can take individual bricks, and the brick wall will still hold, but eventually you can just take one brick and it will all crumble down. So it looks like we are at that point where we've taken a lot of brick walls because a lot of species are dying out. I mentioned that about 50% of our wildlife has vanished in the last 40 years. So that's quite alarming. So we don't know what's going to happen with that, but it's probably not a good situation. So we have those warnings from a biodiversity standpoint, from our, you know, losing biodiversity standpoint, largely driven by animal agriculture because it's the number one user of land, the number one what we call anthropogenic user of land, so land that we level out as humans. And the number one reason why we do that is for animal agriculture, to put animals grazing there, and also to grow foods for the animals that we consume. Because like I mentioned, it is a very inefficient way to feed humanity. We spend a lot of calories feeding these animals, and we only get a fraction of them back when the animals are sacrificed. And with our ever-growing human population, it's just not a sustainable way in any shape or form to feed humanity and our growing human population. So we have those warnings. I think you were alluding to the one about the brick wall, which has to do with biodiversity. But we have other reputable organizations also call on warnings from other facets or areas. For example, we have the Stockholm International Water Institute that back in 2012, so about 4 years ago, they said that unless our animal consumption decreased dramatically, we were not going to have water to produce food to feed the 2 billion people that were expected to be on the planet by 2050. So that's also a dire warning that we should not ignore.
Thank you. It's time to take a break. We're joined by Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa, a physician in Houston, Texas.
Hey, it's Nancy from Angel Band.
And Allie Page from Angel Band.
And you're listening to Community Radio WCUW in Worcester, 91.3. Streaming at WCUW.org.
In the park, stay there till after dark. Sweet sound, soft and low, song on the radio.
You'll find one of these on a Friday morning, that's for sure. Troy here with the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays 9 to 12 noon. Please join us.
After all is said and done, you know you are my only one.
Hi, this is blues guitarist Jim Olchin. Won't you consider making a secure, tax-deductible donation to WCUW today? Help keep your favorite music alive and well on community radio in Worcester, Massachusetts. 91.3 FM or online at wcuw.org.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Pineda Ochoa, who is the president and co-founder of Meet Your Future, a vegan educational nonprofit. Dr. Pineda Ochoa is joining us via Skype in Guadalajara, Mexico. Thank you very much, Dr. Pineda Ochoa.
You're very welcome.
Another thing you had said that I thought about, which I think is very important, is when you were describing your visit to a slaughterhouse in the past, when you were welcome to film as a way of bearing witness and raising awareness, and that when you stepped out, you described what goes on inside as hell on earth, and then when stepping out, how peaceful and the birds and just how pretty and beautiful. And when I think of that, I think that's what's going on. All this devastating global climate breakdown is going on. It's hell on earth, and yet what we see is everything normal. We're like, okay, it's a nice day, and there's sports games, and there's music, and everyone's doing their daily routine. And so that's when I see that that can break like the brick wall at any second. And that's, I think, the serious times that we're in, and that we can't think that all this violence that's happening to probably a billion animals a day is not going to have any consequence. It's violent energies that is going to sooner or later really explode on a global level or implode into our bodies even deeper. So I think that's important to realize that just because everything seems fine, denying the truth or trying to stuff it or hide it isn't going to be of benefit to us or future generations.
Oh, for sure. So right now we're kind of behaving like ostriches are the ones who like dig their face, you know, in the face of trouble, or so they say. You know, it's like we're trying to dig our face in the sand and pretend like the problem is not there, and we're only digging ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole. And yes, we are at a point where I would classify it as we're living in a delusional thinking, you know, because even though the evidence is there, we choose to not pay attention to it. We do so at our own peril. And from an environmental perspective, it is a time bomb. And when we say unsustainable, which is a situation that we're in, it means by definition it cannot be sustained. So if we just keep business as usual because it is unsustainable, either we correct it or nature will correct for itself, and it's probably not going to be a nice situation. So it is unsustainable, and from an ethical standpoint, I don't have the number. I don't know if it's exactly a billion or how many animals, land animals and aquatic animals are killed per day. But yeah, it was a terrible situation. It was like a scene from a horror movie, a terror movie. When I was at the slaughterhouse, I mentioned that more than a factory, it looked like a crime scene. And what made it look like a crime scene was that every single animal was looking out for help, was trying to turn around in the narrow, like, walkways that they have towards where they're getting close and then they get stunned and slaughtered. They were all just trying to move back. They were trying to step on each other just to, you know, doing their best effort to not get killed. They know that they're going to die, and they do not want to die. And this was a smaller operation, slaughterhouse. I cannot imagine, you know, how it is in the larger ones. But this was a smaller operation where the animals had been, so to say, grass-fed and from small ranches in the area. And still, it was just as heinous of a crime. It was just as horrible. So, you know, doing that kind of crime scene that I still dream about and remember, but just to think about that, it's going on every second of every day at a massive scale, it really tells us that it's just craziness. And the fact that we're doing it and not giving it any thought, even though it's bad for our health, it is detrimental for our health. It is not only not necessary for our health, it is actually detrimental to our health. The fact that it's detrimental to our planet, which we live in, it is really worrisome. It is very worrisome. And I see, like you said, that we're kind of living in a bit of a magical thinking situation where we think, well, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure they had a happy life. I'm sure it's not that bad. I'm sure there's laws that protect them. I'm sure, you know, the environmental situation will be fine. I'm sure scientists will come up with a solution for global warming. I'm sure they'll drop some ice into the sea, and then the temperatures will cool, you know.
But we
really are living in a little bit of a delusional state and too much magical thinking to our own detriment. It's just not beneficial. That's why it's so great that you're having a show that brings awareness to these important issues. And a lot of people, kind of when they learn the information, a lot of people try to, embrace it. And not only that, but promote it quite vigorously, because all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, this is going on. It's so wrong on so many levels, and it's so dangerous on so many levels. So it needs to be corrected. And such an easy correction, too. Not expensive, not problematic, not difficult. We just stop eating animal products. Stop eating fish, stop eating dairy, stop eating eggs. Initially, because we're so used to it, we'll think, well, but what would I eat? But, you know, it just takes a very short amount of time to explore all of these delicious plant-based foods and grains and nuts and vegetables and fruits. And the improvement with our health is usually perceived quite quickly. A lot of the aspects of our body, you know, given the opportunity to heal all of the inflammation, all of the things that are going on when we're giving things that are not favorable for our health. So the benefits are there quite quickly from that perspective, from a health perspective, but also it's very impactful with regards to helping animals and with regards to the environment.
True. Thank you. And Dr. Pinetta, we are coming to a close in the interview. And what other messages can you share with our listeners?
I would just say that I invite you to abstain from consuming animal foods, to go vegan, to follow a plant-based vegan diet, that it's going to help you. And you can do it. And a lot of people are doing it. And nothing bad is going to come out of it. Only good things are going to come out of it. And I invite you to do it all the way, to go vegan. Just go for going plant-based vegan. There's no need to only do it the right thing on Mondays or on Fridays. You know, we just need to do it all the way. And it's going to help, like I said, the environment, your health, and billions of animals that are slaughtered completely, needlessly, and unnecessarily, filled with horror and pain, and something that we don't need to participate in. So, please, if you're not doing so already, go vegan.
Gracias.
De nada.
And what is your favorite vegan food that you have been eating in Guadalajara?
Let's see, that's a tough one. A lot of yummy vegan food. I guess I had recently... it's not really classical Mexican food, but it was a vegan Mexican pizza, and it was very tasty. It has some vegan chorizo and vegan plant-based cheese and a bunch of jalapenos and other vegetables, and so I guess right now I can say that that's one of my favorites.
Sounds awesome. Thank you.
It is awesome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pinetta, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime. I'm happy to join you. Thank you very much for having me and for all of your wonderful work and raising awareness for these very important issues.
And will you please share the contact information for your fabulous site, Meet Your Future?
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much for bringing it up. Yes, it's meetyourfuture.com, and it's spelled www.meat, like meat, and then yourfuture.com. And we're also on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram. So please like us on Facebook and keep in touch. And also, if there's any questions or comments, we usually are very happy to provide information and support. As we have time, we answer questions and anything that we can be of assistance and anything that we can be helpful with.
I enjoy your blog and your videos and your lectures, and you have so much information that is so important and helpful in relation to health and the environment.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you enjoy them. We have more videos coming up, and like I said, these are important issues, so we're just trying to bring them up to the surface.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I'm wishing you another wonderful time of many, many, many hours of beautiful moonlit nights and sunshine on your vacation.
Well, thank you so much. Same to you in Worcester. You guys have a veg fest or something coming up, right?
Yes, yes, that's happening this Sunday, May 1st, the New England Veg Fest, and it's happening at the DCU Center in Worcester, and it's also a free event. So really looking forward to many, many people being exposed and embraced by and for the vegan message of compassion, health, and sustainability.
Wonderful. Well, you enjoy it. Lorelei Potzlik from Truth or Drought, I think, was going to speak there.
Oh, who?
Lorelei from Truth or Drought.
Oh, wonderful.
She's a friend of mine, and she's big into the environmental connection between meat and water. She runs a page called Truth or Drought, and she's wonderful, so I think you guys will have been for a treat.
Ah, blessings. Thank you. Gracias.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marlon.
This concludes our two-part interview with Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa, a physician in Houston, Texas, who is the president and co-founder of Meet Your Future, a vegan educational nonprofit dedicated to educating the public on the health benefits of a vegan diet and lifestyle, focusing on the environment, health, and ethics. Dr. Pineda Ochoa is joining us via Skype in Guadalajara, Mexico. To hear last week's interview, please visit the archives at wcuw.org/vegannation. Join us again next week for a Vegan Nation Mother's Day special. Joining us in the studio will be Nicole Malone and Manda Rose, the women leaders of the New England Veg Fest, who will be giving a synopsis of the vegan presenters and speakers at the Vegan Festival, being held May 1st in Worcester at the DCU Center, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., free admission. Thank you for your commitment to a vegan diet and lifestyle to promote peace, sustainability, health, joy, and justice. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.